Blog Talk Radio.
I am so excited to have
Mr. Vernon Sawyer here from Blue Magic. We got to get him on here. Get him on. Vernon, are you there, my brother?
Yes, I'm here, right here, Wardell. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that music just bring back memories. I was 19 years old when that was recorded. And that's been 50 years ago. 19.
Wow.
I was 19 years old when I was really, yep. It's amazing how time just flies.
Yes, absolutely, man. Jesus, Chris. Listen, I'm so excited, man, and I know my listeners are as well, because, you know, the legacy that you guys created and laid down for, you know, not just for us, but you, I mean, you. This is an amazing thing that 50 years in the music industry, man, their careers that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, I only know of you guys, Kool & the Gang, the Whispers, and I'm quite sure there are a few more that can say they've been in the business for 40 years or more. I know it's quite a few more, but it's not that. But you know what? When you start to back it up a little bit, you get down to, like, groups that came out in the 80s, the late 80s, the 90s, that you don't, their careers don't last that long. It didn't.
Exactly.
So what do you think? Why do you think that is? What is the difference, Vernon? Why do you think careers back then last so long and now they don't?
It's dedication, you know, to what you're doing. You know, longevity is something that you strive on. You know, you get up every day and this is all you do. This is all you think about, and that's all we did.
Mm.
We thought about this day in, day out. We wanted to make a success story out of it. We wanted to get on stage with legends and stuff. So we said, we're going to get on stage with legends. We're going to have to be good. So we work day and night to get our craft together. So.
Yes. That's awesome, man. So, well, can you just, like, because, you know, a lot of people haven't heard your story. And I know you tell your story all the time, you know, when you do these interviews and stuff. But for us, it never gets old, Vernon, because it's amazing. And so, it's just like sharing the scriptures in the Bible. You know, they've been the same scriptures in the Bible forever, but people keep learning. New people keep learning more about this, you know, what Jesus did and everything. So I want you to share your story, what you guys did. How did you get started? You know, how did y'all even come up with the name Blue Magic?
Wow, it's a long story. We don't have enough time for it, but, you know,
do your best.
You know, we thought about a few names for the group. You know, we thought about Black Magic. You know, that was just stigmatized. So blue is everybody's favorite color. So we thought about blue, and then we came up with the magic. So and it was history after then. And
Did you have the name before you got with the record company?
Yeah, definitely.
Real? Okay.
Yep.
How old were you guys when you started Blue Magic?
Oh, God, we were like 17. Yeah, we were like kids, you know, we were like kids. And we just wanted to do something special, that's all. And we didn't know how it was going to go. Ted Mills, Wendell Sawyer, Keith Beaton, Richard Pratt, and Vernon Sawyer.
All right. Okay. So go ahead with your story now.
Yeah, we started, the four of us, Richard, Wendell, myself, and Keith, we started out as the Shades of Love in the beginning. And then that's when we met Ted Mills. Ted Mills was writing songs, and a friend of ours knew Ted, and he knew us. So he asked us to come together and just have a talk for a minute. And we was looking for somebody to write some songs for the Shades of Love. And then Ted came along, and he said, well, you know, I have some songs that I'm doing, and would you like to hear them? So we said, yeah, what do you got? He sat down at the piano, and he started playing, what's wrong with my mind, what's come over me? He said, oh, that's nice, you know. And then he came up with this other song. Must have put a spell on my mind. So we said, oh, God, this guy got some real nice songs here. So after that, we just collaborated on the songs, went to Alan Rubens and Steve Bernstein as our managers at that time, WMOT Records, and history started from that point.
Okay.
Out of Philadelphia.
Awesome. So were you guys living in Philadelphia at the time?
It was all living in Philadelphia. Keith, myself, and Richard Pratt, we all lived in the same neighborhood. Ted lived further uptown in Germantown. So, we was all family together.
Okay. And so I went to Simon Gratz High School. Did you?
Okay. Simon Gratz?
Did you go to?
No, I went to Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin, okay.
Ben Franklin. Yeah, on Broad Street,
That's where my cousin went to school at. Okay. All right, so that time, you know, there was a lot going on in Philadelphia, Philly International as well, right? So tell me, how did you guys go from being a local band to ending up with a major label?
Well, that came through the management company, which they had signed the Shades of Love and to the company. And from that point, we teamed up with Ted Mills, which was with a group called The Topics at the time. And the management company, well, it was a good idea if we joined forces with Ted and become Blue Magic. And that's how that happened.
Mm.
And, we did that. And from that point on, you know, it was just all uphill. You know, it was just blessed with a lot of good fortune. So it was at the right place at the right time, put it that way. There's no place to go to learn this music business. There's no schools to go to learn it. So it was on-the-job training. So,
right.
We had to learn everything ourselves. We did our own choreography. We designed our own clothes. So we was our own, you know, we just did everything ourselves.
Yes. So, you had a couple of songs that you felt really good about. You guys went in the studio. What did you record? Did you record it before you presented it to the record company?
No, we was at Sigma Sound Studios, and the management company was getting the material together, and they ran into Bobby Eli and Vinnie Barrett, and they had the song Sideshow. So once we heard that song, we said, oh, we have to record that one. And that became our biggest record on the album. So, and along with...
Where did this management company come from? How did they find you guys? Or you found them?
Well,
how did that happen?
Right. Well, they was managing the Topics at the time. It was with Ted.
The who? The Topics.
Yeah, The Topics.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ted was with The Topics at the time, and the management company was promoting The Topics at that time. And then Ted brought The Shades of Love to the management company. So they heard us. They said, oh, okay, you know, we're going to sign them too. And they signed us. And they merged the two groups together, Ted and The Shades of Love. Yeah, so that's how that came about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, so this is a question from overseas. Were you happy that you built a reputation on ballads, or did that just evolve like that?
It just happened that way. For some reason, you know, ballads would seem like it was more our forte, you know, instead of the up-tempo. But, you know, Norman Harris came in, and he gave us a few up-tempo situations, and we decided we'd record those of Look Me Up and Welcome to the Club.
Okay.
And that's how it became on the album.
But you guys are balladeers, right?
Balladeers is our forte with the ballad.
Yeah. I mean, when you are on stage, it's just... You know, it's like when I hear your songs, it really attacks my emotions. I mean, those songs are so powerful. and so gentle and loving all at the same time that, you know, like whoever is behind these songs have to be amazing people.
Exactly.
Like,
Norman Harris was a great producer and arranger. And he did a wonderful job with Blue Magic in the beginning, and we thank him deep down inside. God bless his soul.
Yeah, God bless his soul. Another question from overseas is, how difficult was it to get a record deal back in the early 70s?
At that time, it was pretty easy. You know, I mean, the record companies was like, doing, you know, groups at that time, and Atlantic Records was interested in our sound, and then they signed the group to the Acco Records, and and it went on from that point, you know. So that was our first album. It was done on Acco Records, which was a subsidiary of Atlantic Records.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you aware of who Benjamin Wright is? The conductor?
Yeah.
Benjamin Wright?
Okay. Yeah.
So I had him on last Wednesday, and we interviewed him. It was an absolutely amazing interview. Because, you know, you and I are both artists, right? And, you know, we write our songs and stuff. But when these guys start putting the stuff on top of it, like the strings and the horns and the bells and the timpanis and all that stuff. I mean, who did that for you guys? Because I was like listening to your music going, man, listen to that arrangement behind that song. Who do you remember the guys that did that stuff for you guys?
That's Norman Harris. That was Norman Harris. He was incredible. He was incredible.
Whoa.
See, Norman Harris did a lot of work for Philadelphia International Records, and we thought he was a good candidate. Yeah, so we got him from Philadelphia International Records because he was a great arranger, and we thought he would be great for Blue Magic. And he took over the project, and history was made from that point.
Now, what was the name of the company that you guys were signed to? I thought y'all were signed to Philly. Who were y'all signed to?
Well, we were signed to WMOT, and which it was considered very working with Atlantic Records at the time. There was a production company, so the production company signed to Acco and Atlantic Records, and that's how that got started. And so we did all recordings at Sigma Sound Studio, and it was the OJs and Patti LaBelle and the Spinners, and all of them recorded at Sigma Sound Studio. So it was a big hot studio at the Sigma. So that's where we recorded our first album at.
Did you guys ever, it seems like the stylistics kind of use the same arrangers for the strings and stuff because it's,
exactly.
I get confused. Did they?
Yes, they did. Tom Bell and Linda Krieg was the producers for the stylistics at that time. And Tom Bell and Linda Krieg was friends of ours also. So it was a relationship there.
right.
Yeah.
So did you guys ever have like battles of the band? How do balladeers get into battles of the band? There's no way. Y'all didn't do battles of the bands, did y'all?
No. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was competition, you know. It was a competition thing with us, the stylistics. We had some of the sounds, you know, I mean, the tenor voices. And, you know, Philadelphia was either the stylistics or Blue Magic. So, you know, it was like a battle.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So
we had fun with
as
it.
You, as your career was taking off as a young man, I think you said 19, right, when you guys got your deal?
Right.
Yeah. At 19 years old and your career is taking off, did you think that, man, this plane is really taking off and I don't think we're ever going to land?
It was exciting. You know, it was devastating and exciting all at the same time. And I never thought it would go that far. You know, we didn't think it would go that far. But the people out there loved the music. After they saw the group and all the choreography and the things we were doing on stage, they fell in love. So after that point, then D-Magic was part of they life. So we were glad to be a part of that.
So how did it go? Can you explain to me? You guys came out with this record, your first single. How was that for you when you heard it on the radio?
Oh, so excited. That was the most exciting time in my life. You know, we heard it on the radio. We said, oh, we finally arrived. We thought we arrived at that point. It was the most exciting time in my life. I was so happy to hear our song on the radio. You know, I was like, oh, my God.
Right. So you heard it on the radio, and so you felt like, okay, we're legitimate now, right? And so did you think that it was all like across the country, or did you just think it was only in that region?
I thought it was only in that region, only in that town.
Right.
I didn't think they would play it all over the world.
That is so unbelievable because
so unreal from. From some young guys in North Philadelphia, you know what I mean? So
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, wow, is this happening? Is this real?
I know. See, that's the kid in you that I'm trying to get out. Because
exactly.
I know he's still in there going, wow.
I had to run home and tell my mother. Turn the radio on, Mom. She was excited for it. She was always in our corner. You know, when we was rehearsing and getting it together and everything, was always in the basement of my house, downstairs in the basement rehearsing. And she was like, you know, can y'all keep that noise down there? All right, Mom, here, keep it down. But she was always supportive of us, and she prayed on it, and things just happened all of a sudden, real fast. And so we were young at the time, so it was hard to grasp it, you know, to hold on to what's going on right now. And our lives just changed from that point.
Wow. So, because I'm getting messages from different, you know, from our listeners and stuff, I just want to ask you this question. They're going to be mad at me because I'm breaking into their question. But the question is, they don't get mad at me, actually. I understand that. But the question is, when you guys came out, what year was it that your record came out?
1973.
Okay. 1973. And when did disco kick in?
That was in 77. Yeah, disco was 77, 78.
Go ahead.
Yeah, disco kicked in 77, 78.
Right, okay, cool. It didn't last long, did it?
No, not too long.
It seemed like it did, but it really didn't.
It didn't.
Because everybody was dropping those dancing records, you know, and it was just like, what is going on? It was like a new kind of music kind of thing. We were kind of a little confused with the R&B.
Yeah.
What happened to R&B?
it was a fad. It came in and went out, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so I just want to, and I'm going to get to the questions, you guys. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you so much for, you know, for seeing just your career through, and you know, I had Mr. Williams from the Temptations on a couple years ago, and you know, and he did the same thing as you, like from the beginning, you know, all the way to the end. I mean, you guys just like fighting, you know, Otis Williams, right? Just doing what y'all got to do to make sure that your group is. It's always there, and continue to to share the legacy of your group around the world. That's absolutely amazing. You're 50 years later, and you're still doing it, man. I am just,
yeah, amazing.
I cannot take my hat off enough times. But I do want to say thank you for doing that.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. So your first album, did it go gold? What happened with that?
The album went gold. The single Sideshow went gold. The album went gold. And by now,
wow.
I think after a while, it went platinum. So.
Wow. So, that was a lot for back then, right?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because no groups hardly come out, your first album is gold. You know what I'm saying? That was unheard of.
Exactly.
A lot of people didn't like
the single too.
Exactly. A lot of people out there didn't like that too much. It took the OJs a long time to get a gold record. A lot of people around the country at that time wasn't feeling us because we came out with a gold record
too
the first
powerful.
Time out. Yeah,
yeah.
Real strong and powerful.
It was like they haven't even paid their dues. They haven't even paid their dues yet. How they get a gold record?
That's what they said. They ain't paid their dues.
right. But the whole thing is that you guys didn't make that decision. The people made the decision.
Exactly. We had nothing to do with it.
Right.
They went out and supported us,
exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you guys did your part and made the music, laid it out, the people made the decision.
Our fans took over from there, So they went out and bought it and supported it, and it went gold.
Wow.
Unheard of.
Go ahead.
Unheard of.
That is amazing. I'm so proud of you. My partner, I told you, Don Fleming.
I'm in the building, man. Let me just say I am a big fan of you guys growing up, for real.
And
to have one of the saw your brothers hanging out, man. How cool is that? Just shoot the breeze with you guys. No doubt. And I wanted to I wanted to kind of ask this question. Well, first of all, do you remember, I saw, and I don't know which iteration, and I'm not trying to go into the politics of that. I'm sure there was probably a couple of Blue Magic groups out there, but I saw Blue Magic perform. I lived in California in the 90s, and Blue Magic performed during a break, an intermission of the show Comic View on BET.
Okay.
Was that you? Just please tell me. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, you guys performed. You guys performed like during the intermissions of Comic View, and I was like, oh my God, man. So again, you guys just don't know how much of an influence it. Even a kid who was born in 74. I was born in 74, so growing up listening to a lot of that Philly music, it was just, and again, the chance to talk to you is just impeccable, and thank you again for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. Yep.
Where did the album title 13 Blue Magic Lane come from?
Well, that was something that the company decided that they wanted to do a Halloween album, at that time. So 13 Blue Magic Lane came from the management company, something they wanted to do. And so we went along with it, it was good, So we got some good songs out of that album, and it was something that the company decided.
Okay. Now, when you guys had your first gold and platinum record, right? That album came out, the single was gold. Were you guys hitting the road then? Was everybody calling for you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we was traveling around the country at that time, different places out in California. We did the Disneyland and things of that sort, and different parts of the islands and the Caribbean. So
right.
It really took off for us at that time. So it was really busy at that time, working a lot.
So what did you think? Like, okay, so now the record company, we went out, we did what we had to do, we did well. The record company should be really excited. Hopefully they renegotiated your contract too. but now it's time for the next album. So what happened?
Time for the next album?
Was there a ton of producers and writers that wanted to be a part of it because they know you guys are selling records?
Right. Everybody wanted to be a part of that second album. You know, they were sending songs left and right. Yeah, they were sending songs left and right to us, you know. And, you know, so it's kind of like it was, a toss-up between songs that we wanted to do and record and the producers and the arrangers of the next album. So it was a lot of people, like, jockeying for positions and, you know, wanted to get their song on that album because they knew that it would sell and they would make money off of it, you know. So it was interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Now, did you guys know anything? Did you guys know anything back then about publishing?
No.
Wow.
We were new to the game.
That's crazy.
We didn't know anything.
So nobody
in our families, you know, knew about music business and how that works and how you publishing and writers and things of that sort. So, like I said, it was on the job training.
We had to find out about those things. That happens. That happens to most people.
A lot of acts. They take advantage of that.
I know. Exactly. That's the sad part because they won't share that information.
That knowledge, because
it's almost like in their minds they're thinking we're giving away money when they should be thinking we're taking their money.
Right.
See, that's the difference. You know, and I say that I think it's only fair for a company, if they're putting your stuff out there, to give them co-publishing. But don't take all of my publishing. Don't take it all. Right?
Yeah, you got to see it. Right. That isn't fair. That isn't fair to the artist, you know, that they can do that, you know what I mean, and get away with it.
Right.
Man. And
get away with it. Go ahead.
It just seemed like it was few years removed from the whole, you know, the Little Richard and the Pat Boone situation where a lot of these artists were, you know, basically, let's just keep it real, stealing from a lot of the black artists and taking the publishings and things like that. So you guys, at least, 10, 15 years removed from that, if it was still going on, which is the crazy part of that.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
go ahead, Wardell. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I love that, you know, that Vernon, that you could be raw and honest with us because, you know, I mean, you know, this is intimate stuff, and we appreciate you, you know, just opening up and just telling the real story, you know, the story behind the story, right?
Right. I appreciate sharing that, you know. It's important for new artists coming up, you know, in the music business that they know these things. And be careful of them, you know, because they are out there. Those traps are out there. And they can fall into those traps. You know, so just be careful.
Wow.
Study the book of music, you know, and read as much as you can on the music business because it's a very treacherous business. It can be.
Right. So what was your next big single for the next album?
Three Ring Circus was a big record for us on that second album, and that record went all around the world. You know, we went to Manila once, and the people over there in Manila as their national anthem, and we didn't know that. And we went over there, and we didn't do the we went over there and we didn't do the song Grieving Circus.
Before and internet.
Like, they didn't let us leave the stage. God. They didn't let us leave. They didn't let us leave the stage until we did that song.
They're like, "Are you kidding me? You can't do that."
They would not let us leave the stage until we sung Three Ring Circus, because that was their national anthem. They lived through that Three Ring Circus, you know. So Say that again.
I'm sorry, Brandon. Go ahead, finish your story.
I was just saying that that country is either you're poor or either you're rich, either or. There was a lot of poor people over there, and they was like, that song meant so much to them in the Philippines. So,
as a matter of fact, that's like I have a listener saying, what was it like performing in the Philippines?
Incredible. They gave us our own hotel. We had a whole hotel to ourselves when we landed.
What?
They were treating us like we were the Beatles or something.
Wow.
Yeah, we had seven number one records over there.
Wow.
We didn't know. We had seven number one records. We went over there, they gave us our own hotel, fully staffed, everything.
Yes.
It was incredible.
Man, why didn't you call me to play drums? Dang.
See, there you go. There you go.
That's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
You're like Uncle Vernon to me because I was still a kid. Too. I graduated in 76. So that gives you an idea. You are already a professional musician. Your career gone. I'm still in high school. So, I want you to just kind of, because, you know, we run out of time a little bit here, and I don't want to hold you too long, but I appreciate you and your manager. She's absolutely amazing.
Elaine, she's amazing.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for blessing us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I wouldn't know what to do without Elaine Sawyer.
I've been doing this for a while.
She's been doing like 30 years now, so I wouldn't know what she wears a lot of hats. Thank you,
Lord, for Elaine. That's awesome.
Thank you for that blessing. I take all blessings.
amen to that. Amen. Elaine, I'm going to ask you a question when we come back.
Sure. Okay.
But before we take this small music break, Brandon, can you share something about What's Come Over Me before I play it? Is there anything that you want to share about that song?
Oh, What's Come Over Me? Oh, that was one of my favorites because we had Margie Joseph come in and we redid it with her. So that song means a lot to me. It's a very feeling of love kind of song and a heart-filled song. And everybody I know love What's Come Over Me.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said it's one of the fans' favorite songs, one of the most requested songs.
Yeah. What's the movie?
Yeah.
I concur.
They have a good 15 songs that they request, though. They request almost every song that's played nationally. They know every Blue Magic song, even songs that were never released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, you know, that's the difference. That's what I love about, you know, our old school artists. Like people, they buy the album because they know they're going to get good quality records, right? So they were buying albums, and that's what helped us to have careers because the people could trust that the artist was going to deliver the goods. It's up to the record company to pick out which one is going to be the single per se, but many times DJs pick the ones that they wanted to play, and they would play anything, right, Brandon? And so that's the difference nowadays. That's why people just start buying singles, and it was just selling singles instead of albums because people stopped buying records because they would just put records, you know, other songs on there just to fill up the slots. Instead of delivering the goods and giving you good quality music.
They only have a couple good songs on the album, you know, so.
Well, yeah, Wardell, that's why our generation stopped buying albums, because of that reason. That's what made us stop buying albums, because we were spoiled and we were used to albums having the whole album being good. You could play it, put it on, and just play it until it ends over and over again. And when the time came we no longer could do that, we stopped buying albums. That's when we turned to singles.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I want to get to this favorite song. It's probably one of my favorites of you guys too. But the problem is that I love all of your stuff, so I can't. It's like my they're like my children, right? I one of my children more than the other. I love them all. I know that feeling. Because they all are bringing something.
Yeah. Thank you, Wardell.
With the soundtrack of our life.
Appreciate you, Wardell.
Exactly. Yeah, appreciate you too, man. So look, we're gonna take a small break and then we'll be right back right after this. What to come over, man? What an amazing show.
Jeez, good grief. I love that.
Hey, I get chills when I even hear it, man. It does something to me, man. I said, wow, did we do that?
Yeah.
and that brings up a good question for me. That brings up a good question because it's like when you hear these songs, and I'm kind of a musician, but I wasn't like in a group, but let me ask you this. My question is for you, Mr. Sawyer. Have you ever had those moments where it's like an out-of-body experience because the song is just so good, and you're just like you just said, it's like, God, did we do that? I mean, that's how good you guys' music are. And have you ever had that feeling? Okay.
All the time. Every time I hear this music, it just does something to me. I said, damn, did we do this? Really do this? I can't believe it myself. And it's such a joy, you know, just to listen to it, you know. And was in the studio when they was making this music with all these string players and horn players and violins. And, you know, it was just incredible just to sit there and listen to them put that together. It was amazing. I never experienced anything like it, you know. So it was an experience I'll never forget.
Wow. I wanted to switch gears for a quick second, Wardell. I wanted to jump in because, like I said, you know, it's a chance of a lifetime to talk to a legend. So let me just ask this question. I know, again, switching gears, I know the climate of this country when it comes to police brutality and now you have people who are recording these events, what's going on with police. I know back in the 70s, you guys got in the little incident. Is there any way you guys can talk? Can you share it or a moment that I think it happened in Michigan? Can you talk a little bit about that? Go ahead.
Ann Arbor, Michigan. We was coming from a show, and we stopped for breakfast at the Howard Johnson's. And when we leaving the Howard Johnson's, we came out. We had a convoy. We had like vans and cars that we were traveling in at the time. And we came out of the restaurant, and all of a sudden, hell broke loose. I mean, it was just police everywhere. It was helicopters everywhere. It was like they emerged on us, and they said that somebody had a gun, and which nobody had a gun. You know what I mean? So they treated us like we was second class citizens. So the whole ordeal was, it's a long story, but anyway, we got to the police station. They made us walk to the police station. So, and we got there.
Whoa.
The captain there at the police station, after they said, well, who are you? One at a time, come up there, tell us who you are, whatever. So we told him who we were, and we said, well, Blue Magic. This so happens that the captain's daughter had our album in her house.
Who was white.
And he came and said, who are you? Blue who? Blue Magic. He said, my daughter has your album in my at home.
Wow.
So everything switched from that point, you know. So after they found out who we were, and they were like, oh, we sorry. Okay, you know, the whole nine. But anyway, that was an experience of my life.
But there was a major lawsuit that followed.
Yep.
It went around the world. This lawsuit was one of the biggest lawsuits in the music business during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Blue Magic was awarded a very large sum of money based on what had happened. But what he didn't tell you, they not only were followed before they were pulled over for quite some time. When they pulled over, they had helicopters. They were surrounded by all kind of sheriffs and cops. They were pulled from the vehicles. Keith Beaton was hit in the back of his head with the butt of a shotgun. It was muddy, wet, and snowy. They made them lay face down in the mud and the snow. Okay?
Mm.
And then they took their belts and made them walk so their pants was falling down. Oh, yeah, it was an ordeal.
Oh, good.
So it was a major lawsuit that came because of that. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
What year was that?
That was in like
what
70.
Was... No, that was 80.
What, 80?
Yeah, that was in the 80s.
No, that wasn't the 80s.
Okay.
No, that was like 78, 76. It was between 6 and 8, something like that.
Johnson.
It wasn't the 80s.
Okay.
He knows everything.
I'd have to look back. We had the newspaper stuff. I'd have to look back.
That was a crazy time. Definitely.
Yeah.
And again, the reason I think that the fact that, you know, you guys are here. I mean, you're here and able to, you know, share that story. You just don't know all the listeners out there who need to hear that. And considering now it seems like, you know, we have this parallel to what happened back then is happening now. The only difference is now because of the technology, because of cameras and things like that.
Right.
And that was just unfortunate. And I'm just glad you're here to share that story. And thank you, Elaine, for expounding on it a little bit more. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. People need to know how long, you know, we're still fighting a battle that we've been fighting for a long time.
Yeah.
But we can't give it up. Can't stop the fight.
Well, yeah. And so many are trying to revert back to that time. Like, no, we're not going back. We're going,
that's not
forward.
Possible. If you had a problem back then, what do you think it would be now? If you couldn't master that plan back in the day, you certainly won't now.
Uh-huh. Yes. All right, well, bad event. But it's a reality. It's a reality that a lot of our artists have experienced.
Exactly.
And
never thought anything
like
that would happen.
Bad. I mean,
my uncle
Tammy
had the
David
same
too.
Story. My
Tammy
uncle
David was too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Brooklyn
Scholarly.
Elaine, I'm sorry.
I said a lot of the gospel artists have the same story. My uncle is an original member of the Brooklyn Skyways, a very famous gospel group, and he has the same stories from the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Whoa,
and it's continuing on now.
Be able to make it out.
Yeah.
And I've been there as a young black man. I've been there where, you know, I had a ton of police surrounding me. A ton of them, because they knew I was a drug dealer because I was driving my dad's Cadillac, my dad's random Cadillac. I was driving at 16 in Philadelphia, you know, Philly, driving 16 years old. My dad was our pastor. He had three gas stations, an auto store, and a hardware store. So my dad made his money that way, but because I was driving the car, they looked at me like, you should not be in that. Black, young black man should not be in a nice car like that.
Exactly.
And they followed me. They surrounded me and made me drive to the police station. And the story is crazy. But ultimately, they were embarrassed because by the time they did all the checking on me, it was my mom was the only person looking for me.
Absolutely.
You know, crazy. I think the point of the matter of me, you know, just thank you for expounding on that again. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up, because you think because, you know, you are a star, you're still black in this country. And the fact that you can actually make that beautiful music that you're making, despite all of that trauma. Being black in America, you know, it's a testament to your perseverance and you and your brothers in band, you know, brothers in music. So,
yeah, but to bring it to a head, Dad, I'll say this: what it is a testament to is the power of music, because even though Blue Magic
did
that episode, it was a white captain who came from the back. And when he inquired as who are all these young men in here and why are they in here, and they told him it was Blue Magic, the fact that his daughter had the album and it was her favorite album, as he said, so she played it through the house all the time, he was familiar with it himself. And the power of music shows that it's universal, because his daughter wasn't black.
And it's the
power of music. And that captain, so respected, they said the moral of the story is, the respect that was honored to them when that captain found out who they were and what he did to his fellow officers was a testament to his honor. So music is a very powerful form, and it brought us, even with all that, we still ended in peace because of music.
Yeah. And another thing, when we got to the police station, they said we couldn't sit on the benches. You had to sit on the floor.
Oh.
Oh, how inhumane.
Don't
oh, my God.
Sit on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they try to destroy your character, man.
Oh, definitely.
They try to destroy it.
Exactly.
And you just came from an audience of mixed people filled with thousands, sold-out crowds.
Yeah.
This is what you just left.
You're going away to another gig.
On your way to the next gig.
Yeah. So.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy time.
Well, I'm so happy you guys.
I didn't know that kind of racism was still out there. You know.
Yeah, still exists.
I didn't know that it still exists out there.
We almost lost our lives today, which is crazy.
Yeah, we came close to losing our lives that night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely came close.
Because
they had their guns drawn and everything. So. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They were out for business.
It gets ugly, man.
Yep.
It's ugly. Yep. When people want to be ugly, they can be ugly.
Yep. Ugly.
And police officers, they feel like they have justification for doing ugly things.
Definitely.
They create their own.
And they will lie. Yeah, they'll lie and say, this is what happened, you know.
Exactly.
So anyway, but listen, I want to say thank you again. Elaine, can you share? We need to know how people can follow you guys.
Okay, you can follow us through, we have a corporation, Blue Magic Music, Inc. You can always find us through that, but you also can find us through Facebook, Elaine Sawyer and Blue Magic Music, Inc., and also under Blue Magic. You also can find us through Instagram, and like I said, you can call our company, 718-642-1292. You can reach us by email, magicmusic30@aol.com, and we're looking forward to hearing from anyone who would like to inquire anything or information about Blue Magic. And we want to say mostly thank you, Mr. Wardell Potts. Thank you, Don Clemens. And thank you, Solar Radio Records, for this outstanding interview and for this illustrious honor, because we do consider it an honor.
Yep.
Because without your support, I don't think Blue Magic would be celebrating their 50th year. So Juneteenth, they'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary in the music business as Classic Soul Legends. And we'll be sending out a lot of historic information throughout Facebook and throughout the web in order to let people know about Blue Magic's history, legacy, and journey.
Awesome.
All right.
And in terms of anything coming up?
Oh, yes,
anything
yes.
Coming up?
For people around town and around the state, you can find, we'll be going to Detroit in June. We'll be in Hammond, Indiana, Brooklyn, New York, San Diego, California. And you can check on my Facebook page, and it'll tell you all the dates and the venues. We'll also be in Saratoga, California. I don't have my schedule in front, but I think that's coming up in July. And we'll be at August 28th, I know, we'll be in Saratoga at the Outdoor Winery. So, yeah, they'll never be traveling around. Then they come back up to the north, and I think they do Symphony Hall after that and the Beacon Theater. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So look forward to seeing you all there.
Okay, I have to do this because, you know, the one of the listeners in the U.K. is asking this question, and then I'm gonna go to Spell. Brennan, it's a double question for you. It'll be their question, and then I'm gonna play Spell as we're going out. Is there anything you want to say about Spell as you go out? You can answer that as well. Okay. So the question is, what was the idea behind reworking the song "What's Come Over Me" and adding the vocals of Margie Joseph?
Repeat that question for him. You didn't hear.
One more time.
Someone reworked the song "What's Come Over Me" and added the vocals of Margie Joseph. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, Blue Magic did that.
Yeah, we did that.
Okay,
yeah.
So what was the purpose behind it? Yeah, that's what they're trying to find out. Why did you do that? Why did you rework it? What was the reason for that?
At the time, our record company was working with Margie Joseph, and they signed her to the label, and they asked her would she be interested in being on a record with Blue Magic.
And do a bit.
And do a bit. Yeah. So she agreed to it. So What's Come Over You was a song that they was talking about. So
it was already such a hit song.
Yeah, right. So they added her voice to the beginning of it, you know, and had to do
it. And it became like a whole new song.
It became a whole new song.
They added a whole new audience.
People was requesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
People requesting.
You know, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's okay,
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we
What's Come Over You
is
an album song. It was never released.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said, and what the major part of the story is, What's Come Over Me was never a single. That was on the album. But, you know, people know all their songs on the album.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, so in closing, I'm going to play Spell. Is there anything you guys want to say about Spell before we get out of here?
Wow. Spell.
It put a spell on my mind.
That was our first record. Believe it or not, Spell was our first single. And on the back of Spell, on the 45, was a song called Guess Who. Have you ever heard that song?
No, but I've
heard
Guess it.
Guess Who. I thought Guess Who was a better song than Spell to me, you know.
But Spell became the hit.
But Spell became the hit. So they
turned
it. Spell was the B-side. Yeah, Spell was the B-side. But all the jocks out there love Spell. So, you know, Guess Who was the A-side, and Spell was the B-side.
And it got switched from popularity.
Popularity.
I never heard it, but I'm going to make sure I get it for the listeners.
Oh,
nice song. When
you hear it, you're going to love it.
Yes,
you're going to love it.
Nice
I got
it. He knows. Don knows.
I got Wardell on this one. Yeah, that's a, I love
guess
that.
Guess him?
You got it,
yeah,
guess
him.
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Guess
not
who
in my
never
stash,
an
no. But
guess
I
who was
we'll
never
get it
on
later.
An album.
It was never on an album. Guess Who? Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, much love to the Sawyer family. We appreciate
much
you guys.
Love, Wardell. Much love, Don Clemens.
Thank you. No problem.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Much success to you guys, man.
I hear a New York accent for sure.
Do you?
Yes, I hear you.
You hear it.
Like Brooklyn. Seems a little Brooklynish.
Donna. Brooklyn by way of Virginia.
By the way, I was born in New York, Mount Vernon, New York.
Yeah,
so
he was.
I was born in
Funny
New York.
Earning. Okay.
His grandparents were from Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I went to college in Virginia.
Did you? Where'd you go?
Yeah, I went to Norfolk State.
Oh, I know that school very well. One of our sons went to Virginia State University.
That's where I went.
Get out. It's a small world. Right. We have connections. We always have connections, family connections.
Thank you all a
lot.
But thank you guys.
It was
a beautiful interview.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed rest
of
your
thank
week.
You.
You know, you guys, your legacy will always be kept alive here on Soul Eye Records Radio, so come back anytime, and let's chop
because
it up
of
again.
Because of people like you guys, that's why their legacy is still remains intact and pure, and we appreciate you. And God bless you guys, and thank you for this beautiful opportunity, and we look forward to the next one.
Yep. Thank you so much.
All right. Sounds good. All right. See you guys. Peace out.
And all our fans out there.
Vern, you said what you say?
No, I was just
saying
thank
you
to all the fans.
I was just saying thank you to all our fans out there. That's all,
All right, okay, cool. See you guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Dreaming of you. Trouble speaks. Just can't get much together. No kind of way.
I gave you everything I had, but you just pushed me away. I tried so hard to break loose, but you gained control every day. I watched you take my whole world from me, and there was nothing I could do. A secret word, a hidden touch, and I belong to you.
am I. There is nothing left to hide. Just two kindred spirits taking time to surrender to
but don't have to be taking
What did you think about that, man? What did you think about that song right there? Because that was Moonchild, brand new music from Moonchild featuring Alex Isley. Alex Isley, of course, the daughter of Ernie Isley from the Isley Brothers. You got one. Before that, I had to hook up a little Miles Davis and Layla Hathaway, So Emotional. I love that song, man. And Blue Magic. We got 36 minutes left of the show. Vernon Sawyer from Blue Magic, we just got off the phone and talked to. Can you? That's a legend right there, Wardell.
Straight out, man. Straight out. That was awesome. I enjoyed the interview so much. And, you know, I love the honesty and that we were able to get into areas that we don't normally get into with him. But it was awesome that he was so, you know, willing to share and thought that it needed to be talked about in terms of, you know, publishing and stuff like that, and also in terms of civil rights and all that stuff. So that was beautiful, man. And we got to talk about just the legacy of Blue Magic, 50 years in the business, and just, you know, his childhood growing up in the city of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just awesome. I thought it was a beautiful interview.
Man, I was just happy to put my two cents in. That was just an amazing interview. So shout out to you on bringing in. Shout out to Vernon. Shout out to Elaine. I gotta steal them and put them on my show.
Yeah. Elaine said, I think Don is probably, you know, got Wardell by a couple of years. He's a couple of years. I said, no, he just grew up on that music. They was just that's. She said, oh, yeah, he was created on that music. Huh? I said, yes. She said, he's got a whole soul. You can tell. I said, yeah, he knows his music well. And I just shared with him how we met and stuff. I said, he's been doing this stuff for so long. So anyway, they really enjoyed talking to you. So you went from.
Oh, yeah, like I said, I had to kind of, you know, bring in my, because again, you guys were just amazing, you know, talking about the upbringing and things. And you're like, Don, you got a question? Let me ask my little old snanky question. And I'm just glad to be able to contribute to the flow of the show. So.
That was awesome. And to all the listeners, the ones that were excited about the interview, I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. And like anytime we are interviewing any of these artists that you guys want to, you have questions or you have your own thoughts, please feel free to just, you know, send me a message. I will ask the question for you. You can send a message. Don't be shy. Ready to make this happen with you. So, but thank you so much for supporting Soul Eye Records Radio. We appreciate you very much.
All right. Well, man, I feel good. Let's get into some music, man. You got something for us?
No. You do.
so this is on me. This is what you're doing this to me.
That's right.
It's
all
good.
I love your music.
Well, hey, let's go ahead and keep this music going, man. I'm going to take you back to 1986, give you a classic from one of my favorite saxophonists, Mr. Najee. The name of the song is called Bet You Don't Know. Guys, keep it locked right here because it is Indie Jazz Day on Soul Eye Records Radio. Keep it locked.
The hand that wrote this letter sweeps the pillow clean. So rest your head and read a treasured dream. I care for no one else but you. I tear my soul to cease the pain. I think maybe you feel the same. What can we do? I'm not sure what we're supposed to do. So I've been writing just for you. They say your life is going very well. They say you sparkle like a different girl. But something tells me that you hide when all the world is warm and tight. You cry a little in the dark, or so do I. I'm not quite sure what you're supposed to say, but I can see it's not okay. He makes you laugh, he brings you out in style. He treats you well, he makes you look real fine. And when he's strong for you. And when you kiss us, it's something new. But did you ever call my name? Just by mistake. I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to do. So I just write some love.
Junior, of course, that is music from the Robert Glasper experiment from 19. Yeah, I'm got so caught up in the 1900s. 2012, of course, from their Black Radio album featuring the Lau. The name of the song is called Letter to Hermione. Beautiful song, beautiful remake. As a matter of fact, David Bowie did the song first. Of course, before that, I played a little Rashawn Patterson, of course, Spend the Night from 1997. And, of course, who did I start off the block with, Wardell?
I have no idea.
Najee, man, Najee. Classic, classic Najee from 1986. Bet you don't know. So 16 minutes left of the show, man. Go ahead.
I ran away from the dashboard. When you start doing it, I just went away from the dashboard, so I had no idea what you were playing. But I just know that it feels good. It feels good. As a matter of fact, I just got a message from Greg, the best show ever. He loves the show today. So it must be something good. Something's good in the air. Don, thanks so much for the music. And thanks to Vernon Sawyer for blessing us, him and his wife.
And Elaine, yeah. Energy. Shout out to Elaine and Vernon, yeah.
Yes. So, anyway, yeah, I'm still on the road. I'm out here on the road, y'all, and it's 99 degrees. Man, it's been crazy. But it's a beautiful thing. Summer is coming up, and y'all ready for the summer? Y'all ready to go on y'all road trips and do your family thing and school kids? I know they're glad school's coming to an end. Oh, man, getting the finals out of the way for the college students. Everybody's happy. This is good times. It's time to get rolling and have a good time. So that's why I enjoy this show, because it's very relaxing. I feel like I'm on vacation when we play this music. It's so relaxing. It's so good for the soul. Thank you, Solar Records Radio, for blessing us with this good music. Thank you.
Well, here's the thing, man. We're going to bless them with a little bit more music because, again, we only got 15 minutes left, but I got in my arsenal, I got a couple of more songs I want to play. Then we're going to come back and we're going to go ahead and say our goodbyes. We're going to say our goodbyes a little later on, but let's go ahead and keep this music going, take you back to 2015, give you a classic, well, I call it a classic, instant classic, from the group King. The name of the song is called The Greatest. Keep it locked right here. It's Indie Jazz Wednesday on Solar Records Radio.
Take it home, go ahead.
listening to Indie Jazz Wednesday on Solo Records Radio. I had to hook that up for my birth year, 1974, music from, of course, that's Kool & the Gang. And what's that song, Wardell? I got to put you on the spot, man. What is that one?
Summer Madness, my brother.
You've been listening.
Yeah. You got it going. You got it going, man. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, man, I'm going to close it out, man. Wrapping it to show up a little Summer Madness, man. Before that, I had to hook up the King, or actually King, the Greatest from 2015, early 2016. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful video. Because I'm a video gamer, and it's kind of endeared to my heart. So I had to hook that beautiful song up from King. Man, shall I go on? What a show. I sound like a broken record when I say this, but what a show, Wardell. What a show.
Yeah, I loved it, man. It was good. It was good. Man, like that interview was just off the chain. I really enjoyed it. It was clean. It was in-depth. It was, you know, honest, you know, and it was just faithfulness on the part that those guys have been doing this for 50 years. And, you know, and he's just like, we work so hard, and we are just loyal to our craft, and we work hard. And so that's the difference between a lot of new artists and old school artists. Old school artists, they live and die and breathe this stuff. And so I'm just so grateful that, you know, Vernon came on and he shared that with us. And so we look forward to the anniversary celebration. I forgot what the date was on that, but she's supposed to be sending me, as a manager, she's going to send me the information.
Okay.
And we'll post
and,
it.
And,
we'll
and
post
it was him. And I will say it was them that Blue Magic that performed at Comic View back in around 95.
Yeah.
And I was just, wow. It was actually Vernon Sawyer, of course, the Sawyer brothers at the time. And if I'm not mistaken, Teddy Wizard Mills, lead singer, that beautiful falsetto voice from Blue Magic had performed. So, yeah, man, what a treat. What a treat.
Yeah. Well, everyone, we wanted to thank you and hope all is well and you guys are good and you take care and we'll see you tomorrow for Throwback Thursday. Don't forget your pictures. Don's already, I mean, not Don. Good.
Tomorrow is Thursday. Wow. Tomorrow's
God,
Thursday
God,
already.
Yep. So don't forget your pictures. Greg's already posted the flyer. So y'all can start posting y'all throwback pictures on that right under that flyer. And I'm going to post it as well in a minute here.
Oh,
but
let me say this.
Go ahead.
I'm on suspension from Facebook, so I can't post anything. I can't like anything.
Oh.
And that's why I couldn't post anything for the Monday show because they caught me. I guess they said something that I violated community standards or something. I don't know what it was, but I think my suspension will be lifted probably Friday or Saturday. So I've been suspended from Facebook, so I can't comment, like, or anything.
You're always suspended, Dan.
I'm
anyway,
banned on
good.
Twitter, and I've been suspended on Facebook. Social media is not my friend right now.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you doing? It's all good. We love
I know.
You appreciate it, Dan. All right. Well, we're up and out of here. You guys be blessed. Take care. And we'll see you tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts, and Phoenix will be there as well. So you guys take it easy. And thanks again, Don, for, you know, taking care of the show. We appreciate you, man.
No problem, man. No problem. And hey, we want to go ahead and close it out. And I want to give you a classic all the way back to 1960 from the lovely Miss Etta Jones. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a safe and wonderful Wednesday. We'll see you again tomorrow. Throwback Thursday, Solo Records Radio. We out. See you later, Wardell.
We out. Later, again.
To the stars above. But when you need someone true to love, don't go to strangers, darling. Come on to me. Play with fire till your fingers burn. And when there's no place for you to turn, don't go to strangers, darling. Come on to me. For when you hear a call to follow your heart, you follow your heart, I know. I've been through it all, and I'm an old hand, and I'll understand if you go. So make your mark for your friends to see. But when you need more than company, don't go to strangers. Come on to me.